Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to 11 Personnel, live on the road from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm Nick Roush with Adam Luckett, and I don't know why I decided to put a big voice on, but here I am putting a big voice on to talk to you about some football.
It's a pretty good interest there, Nick. Yeah. I didn't know you had that big voice in you.
Maybe it's because we're watching a little Big Ten basketball. We got the Hoosiers and Rutgers Fighting Knights of Piscataway on. I don't know why I'm so enthused, but yeah, just had to get my big voice on. We did do some tinkering, so hopefully the technicalities are not too difficult.
Yes, yeah, so it was about 25 minutes of test 1, 2, 3, Omaha ABC, and I think we figured it out, at least. See, figured it out good enough.
That's what it is. Like, it is. We tested for so long, I wanted to bring the hurricane for whenever it came time to actually talk. So, folks, you got the hurricane live from the combine. We're going to be doing 2 days of podcast talking for y'all while we're up here hanging out with some of the future NFL Wildcats. But before we talk about the combine, Luckett, and oh, there goes the sensor light. There's sensor lights in our hotel. I feel like we're at the when Dwight Schrute adds the. You know what I'm talking. He
this is like this hotel room is like when Dwight Schrute cuts back at the office.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to pay to use the restroom.
We've got single ply toilet paper.
yes,
but
we only have about three lights in this. Oh yeah, big hotel
there's
room.
Two light bulbs in our room right now. But we are living the sweet life. It's just the La Quinta sweet life.
The only sweet life there is.
Not the JW Marriott, but hey, we're living large. We're having a good time in Indy. We're going to talk about some of the things that have happened in Indy, especially the fashion trends. The fashion trends are what really have piqued my interest, Luckett. But we got to start with the marathon press conference from Lexington on Tuesday. Luckett, I've done many a press conference over the years. That is definitely the longest I've ever been a part of. An hour and 40 minutes talking to all four coaches.
We hit the century mark, 100 minutes. Four football coaches start off 20 plus minutes with Mark Stoops. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's last name.
Scangarello.
Sacks gave something else.
What? Sacks gave?
Slacks gave one pronunciation.
Scangarello.
And then Mark gets up there.
Scangariello.
Scangariello. Yeah.
He made it extra Italian. Are there a bunch of Italians in like Youngstown or something? So he felt like he had to go extra?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's probably what it is.
Like Mark switched some letters there.
He went like Scangariello.
Yeah, so I was like, what? So I still don't know how to pronounce this guy's name.
I think he goes mostly by Coach Rich. So we can just call him Coach Rich to make it simple.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I can spell it now. That took a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't as hard as DJ Uiagalelei. That one was pretty difficult to get down. Rich, I got about 10 tries. I was good to go. But yeah, we got to hear from everybody. I guess what were your overall thoughts of that marathon?
The
days running into each other. Now.
Yeah,
that was Tuesday.
Because I mean, we went there and back, and then we were at Indy quickly thereafter. There was a lot happening on Tuesday. First off, we had a very happy Stoops. Secondly, they really did drive home the point of like, this guy knows his stuff. The biggest one for me was that he, Yenzer and Coach Rich, they are learning UK's terminology and not the other way around. That's how much of a seamless transition. You know, they're using all the buzzwords, but for the players on the team, they aren't learning a new offense this spring. They have a different coach calling the stuff, and they're going to emphasize different things, and they're going to hit it harder, and they're different people in different roles. But for the most part, they're sticking to with what they know. And as Stoop said, you know, this time a year ago, we didn't know if we could go under center by the time spring practice ended. So we're much farther ahead. We don't have to go and reinvent the wheel. And then to echo that sentiment, Rich said a lot of things that like Liam would say when it comes to Liam talked often about, I want to be a caddy for my quarterback. I'm just here to help these guys out. I'm here to figure out the best plays for my players and run to their strengths. And Rich said the same thing. He's like, we don't know what it's going to be just yet. I like the pieces here, but my job is to set these guys up to have success. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. So in that regards, I really like that. I really like the continuity aspect. I like Yenzer working with him previously. I think that helped sold Rich on coming here. And then I also like the familiarity that Stoops has with his brother, that Mike has with the program from like a, you know, he kind of gets what Mark's doing. He understands what Kentucky football's been all about in recent years. And with Greg Minuski, the quality control coach, leaving with Summerall, even Mike Stoops is a good old head to bounce off Brad White. So that was a lot condensed into a little bit of time, Luckett. So feel free to take whatever you want from that and completely run with it.
Yeah, mine was a few things. Mark Stoops giddy. He's never really been like this. I can't really remember. He's very much comfortable in his own skin, comfortable with where he's at, where everything sits, has a level of excitement, I think, about this team, feels very good about this team. So that's, I mean, we've spoken with him twice, signing day and this. We'll see maybe when they get practicing if that starts to change a little bit. But he's just like a kid in a candy store up at the podium almost.
He's cracking jokes.
Yeah.
You know,
joking on himself.
Yeah, call himself fat.
Right.
Yeah, you know, a lot of not, fat jokes.
Even questions he thinks during the season, he probably would give us more snarky answer thanks to the bad question. He even is giving a joke that's a weird question, but I'll answer it.
The combine one.
Yeah, so.
You want me to talk about all of them? Well, okay, I will.
Yeah, so he's definitely in a good spot, it seems like. Second thought was the assumption was true. They want to stick with the McVay-Shanahan scheme. So they went and looked at both rosters, and they stuck on the 49ers roster and got somebody off of there. It also sounded Scangarello kind of stole the job from Rob Calabrese.
Ooh, love that too.
I mean, that's a little reading in between the lines, but there was definitely something out there where Kentucky didn't think he would be interested. And it definitely made it sound like he or his people reached out to Kentucky. And then it happened fast once that happened.
Yeah.
Talked to him on the phone, interview, bada boom, bada bing.
Sounds like
new offensive coordinator.
So the hire happened on Friday. Sounds like
he reached out maybe Wednesday or Tuesday.
Yeah, because the Calabrese thing, I put that out there, I think, Tuesday night.
It was Tuesday night, yeah.
So he probably found out Wednesday, and then because they even mentioned, Scangarello mentioned, it was a guy that used to work for me. You know, we had kind of a connection. And then you add the Yenzer aspect. And I think the multiple connections, and Rich was like, oh, I don't have to answer Trey Lance, Jimmy G questions anymore? Yeah, let's do it. It's almost kind of like how the dominoes had to fall a certain way for Liam to go to L.A., feels very similar with getting Rich to Kentucky.
Yeah, and so I think that was part of the reason Stoops was so giddy, was because they got a guy this accomplished. Now, we could go back and forth on everything, but, you know, this guy's been in the NFL for a long time. He's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
If you look at the candidates, he was the outlier.
Right.
He was clearly ahead above
the more, the less, I mean, less proven, or more proven than the rest of the candidates.
Right. Much higher floor.
So, obviously that. Next thing is, I think when there's the next coordinator search, there won't be a search.
Mm-hmm.
I think Scott Woodward's probably in line to get the offensive coordinator job next, and I think Mike Stoops is probably going to get the DC job.
Pretty wild how explicit Mark was in that, too. Mm-hmm. Normally he makes us do a little bit of work, but he was pretty clear in that, I want these guys to
He wanted that message out there.
And he's like, because we aren't going to be doing this every offseason. So right. I guess that is important to have that out there. But the goal is have these guys for 2 years, teach the other folks, and so that way the guys on the staff can move up. And it worked well with Matt House, Brad White. That only took a year because White had seven or eight under his belt from the NFL. Woodward didn't have that enough experience.
Yeah, I mean, he was a pick quality control coach. But before that, he was at UMass for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, and then, I mean, Mike Stoops is already talking like the defensive coordinator. He gets asked about his position, and he just starts naming off the where they're at and positions on the roster. So
well, JJ's getting healthy.
Yeah. So just
lost, what do you call Yusuf too? He did not call him Yusuf.
No, it wasn't like it was like it was you something, but it wasn't Yusuf.
Yufasa.
Yeah, it was not Yusuf.
Hey, A for effort, Mike. You tried.
Right.
So, also, Mike, Mark got brevity in that family. Nobody else did.
I do appreciate Mike Stoops. I asked him about his time at Alabama. If no one's seen it. I wrote something about it that posted Wednesday morning on Kentucky Sports Radio. So definitely check that out. But I wanted to ask him just kind of like, what was it like being at Alabama? Why would you go there? And why do you think, you know, got coaches like you are going there? And he pretty much saying, well, I'm not going to elaborate on Alabama, what, and then spent 10 minutes elaborating on Alabama. So I do appreciate, if that's what it takes to get a question answered, I will take the shade. I will take it.
Well, but you know what, though? Maybe he said that he doesn't deserve any credit for toughening Mark up because Mom babied him. But maybe that's why Mark's quiet. He couldn't get a word in with all those damn Stoopses.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think that was more so like he didn't probably, because that's like competition in the league, so he probably didn't want to say a lot, but obviously he took a lot out of that. And so, yeah, that stuck out. And then, like, I don't know, like, we don't know much about Zach Ensor, man. Like, his college career was kind of up and down.
Mm-hmm.
He was in air raid offenses, bounced around, went to Kansas. It was Kansas.
Yeah.
Then had to take an off-field role, at SMU with Sonny Dykes. Then gets an NFL opportunity. And I guess it went well. He stuck in that organization for 3 years, a successful organization. But it kind of all adds up. I mean, when you look at his resume, where he came from, his personality type, like that's, you know, and the recruiting's a big question with that, obviously, and how he is long term. But I mean, it's like he checks every box you could want checked. And I mean, from a resume, I mean, from relationships with coaches on the staff to, I mean, he's like they pretty much said he's Schlarman Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And especially replacing what they replaced, which gets me to our last point. There's no love lost with Eric Wolford departure.
I could have coached that line. Yeah, I mean, from Stoops. Throw barbs.
That old high school rivalry is back.
Oh, yeah.
Ursuline and Cardinal Mooney is back. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty pissed about how that all went down.
But to add to the thing about Ensor, where you're not entirely sure, but he does say things the right way, straightforward. He has the fun kind of, he's probably going to jump your ass, but he's also seems like a pretty normal guy at the same time. I don't know. Like, he does have that vibe about him, and he also has Drake Jackson to help him out too. And
yeah, it's going to help a ton. There's no you denying don't, that.
It's one of those things. You rarely get a GA hire to have so much effusive praise for somebody. But and it's not just because, as Stoop said, he's known him since he was in the eighth grade. Like, Drake is going to be a guy like it that I think we're going to be interviewing like 20 years from now still. You know, like, he's going to be doing this stuff for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, when he was playing, he just kind of sounded like a coach. The way he talked, the way he kind of analyzed football.
He sounds like my buddy, St. Rita guy, Waggle. They're both big guys, both linemen.
I know Waggle.
Yeah.
Shout out Andrew Waggle.
Dude, they sound so much alike. It freaks me out. I every time I interview Drake, I'm like, dude, Waggle, what the hell? Why do you sound so much like him?
Yeah, so
deja vu. Shout out St. Rita. Fish fries are back this weekend. I know. You're gonna be getting that fish. Hey, St. Rita has a hell of a fish sandwich. Their sides, not great at all.
No, sides aren't great, but the fish sandwich delivers.
Which, like, I feel like sides are a very easy thing to like church up.
No, they did the hard part.
Oh, and so they're just like, we're gonna go get not just regular Costco, we're gonna get low rent Costco. St. Paul, we do sides good at St. Paul. Fish is good, not as great as St. Rita's, but the sides. You gotta up the side game a little bit. Like it. I guess you're just doing the fish with the beer.
Yeah, I mean, the fish is the most important part, though. Like, if I'm going to fish fry, I want a good fish sandwich. Like, sides are, I mean, the sides are what they are. It's it's fries, it's macaroni and cheese, green beans, or baked beans. Like, it's not.
Yeah,
it's hard to mess that up, even if it's not great.
I like a good coleslaw.
Yeah, see, yeah, I'm not a big coleslaw guy, but yeah,
you gotta have a good onion ring. It's fish fry season.
Yeah, yeah, I just need the canned beer, good fried fish sandwich.
What's weird? See, I did a lot of fish fry sampling prior to the pandemic, and some places will even have draft beer, the little kegerator action. And
Tate Red has done that. They've opened the draft before.
When they it's like the cooler kegs. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And that stuff, that's a headache in a cup right there.
No doubt.
You already can feel it the next day as it's going.
You know what you're signing up for. It's like you almost need to sign a release form saying you're going to have a killer headache tomorrow.
It's like,
but I don't want to hear about it.
The European cigarettes that have like the deformed lungs on the packets, like just put like a headache on the cup and so I know what I'm getting into.
Yeah, no doubt. Gosh.
Love fish fries.
American tradition.
Fish fries too also remind me of this. I know we're getting a little bit into the weeds of the Louisville Catholic community, but growing up with the TVs on the wheels that had the little strap over the top so it didn't fall on kids, that watching Jefferson Pilot SEC tournament basketball and then going straight to the fish fry and having that television down in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, mom's getting the food ready and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really just
scratches
all the nostalgic itches.
I can see it right now.
Well,
I
Tom
know exactly
Hammond,
what you're talking about.
Larry Conley.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hammond, Buzz. Larry Conley. Just all-time. All-time broadcasting combination.
I can see I can see it all right now. 12-year-old Adam Luckett. Guard Angels cafeteria.
You mentioned Buzz. We were talking. I don't know why we were talking about Jefferson Pilot Sports, but you're right. Buzz was always staring directly into the
sun. He was, man.
His eyes were just that dude. Could you not just? I guess you could. You.
It was always. He was. Oh, it was. It was like. It was either sneaky hot in Knoxville, Tennessee, or he was sweating beads in Columbia, South Carolina. And it felt like every Saturday I turned it on and that's what
12:22 kickoff.
And then there would be the random game in the swamp and you could, you know, we know how hot it gets in the swamp. You're just sweating on the couch watching it. So hot.
Oh, man. But Buzz just like squinting into the camera.
Yeah.
Cuz hey,
in their little pregame show,
you can't cover up the you know, you can't use your sunglasses.
It was the best on the football. They used to just be the Daves because it was Dave Buzzbaker.
Dave Neal
and Dave Archer, I believe, was the color
Archer,
commentator's name.
Yeah.
So they were just the Daves.
Was he any relation to the Archer that was the UK defensive coordinator, Mike Archer?
I would assume some if they're both in college football like that. But, I don't know.
Oh, man. Oh,
Rutgers hanging tough here.
That was a stroll down memory lane.
Yeah, good time.
Hey, Scangarella. One thing I wanted to mention about him, too.
His big Eli Drinkwitz energy?
Okay. There's that, but also, I think, so Barstool does this trivia show where they morph two faces into one, and you've got to guess the celebrity. It's like it's usually a girl and a guy, and you've got to guess each one of them. He's Shannon Dawson and Eli Drinkwitz, like, morphed into one.
Yeah.
He's got kind of Shannon's blockhead.
Yeah, well, it's like, I was going to say, like, the block chin of Shannon Dawson.
Yeah, that jawline, the blockhead. Yes. And then he's kind of a nerd, too. Like, he didn't
glasses.
Play the sport. Yeah,
right.
The glasses.
Didn't play college football.
You know, Stoops is like, he's just been holed up in his office ever since he got here. So, like,
my God. He's throwing out points per possession, and I'm like, hell yes, this is my guy.
Oh, that dude, he's got some bags under his eyes, a bunch of empty coffee cups on his desk.
Yeah.
Man. All in all, I liked what I heard. I liked what I saw Tuesday. And really, a lot of my early impressions, like we've been paying attention long enough now to feel like you can kind of know, but you don't know until you watch it out there. The only one that I was ever, the most wrong first impression I've ever had was Brad White, and that's because I couldn't figure out his Rhode Island accent. It's a very, just like, what is this country? Is he, like, what is
it's like Pat Bradley on the SEC Network. He's got this Arkansas-Massachusetts hybrid accent that is just captivating. It's unlike, every time he's on TV, I cannot turn it off. I'm just like fascinated by his how he talks. Like if I ever met him, I would want to have probably a 3-hour conversation with him.
He's one of one.
Then I would want to see, you know, because when you do that, when you have a couple beers, like which way does he go? Does he go all Massachusetts, all Boston South Side, or does he go all the way into that, you know, that Walmart Arkansas country twang?
Well, this is why I'm glad we waited until after dinner, record a little bit later.
Yeah.
We get off on these tangents.
So back to Rich Scangarello. But before I get there, I just want to say, like, we entered this carousel for Kentucky. Really, I think there was a lot of reason for concern. Because I think it would have been very easy to take a step back at all of these positions.
One, timing.
Timing, obviously. That's all of them. The big one, other than Summerall, right.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't think they took an obvious step back on any of them. I think an easy sell could be they stayed lateral, mm-hmm. even on all three. Because when you look at Rich Scangarello, like, Nick, if you kind of dig into his time at the Broncos, they said opening script was usually pretty good.
It's kind of like Liam.
But adjustments in game, like he needed some work, which was kind of that was kind of my report on Liam. I think that's a little bit different because the game, like the players aren't as good and the coaches aren't as good, so there's not as much chess match going on for the most part.
And also, I think that's like a growing pains as a play caller thing.
Right,
like
right.
You learn that.
But if you can, like I said during the season, if you can sit down, look at a defense, figure out how to attack them and score on them off the jump, I think that's probably the hardest thing to do. So if you check that box, I think that's a lot to get excited about.
And if you check that box, you can play from ahead and you can run the damn ball with Chris Rodriguez.
And so, because it's going to be, it's just going to be different than being an offensive coordinator at Kentucky is just different than the
I'm taking
the NFL. It's easier to run the ball, point blank. You know, if you're not playing Georgia, Kentucky's gonna be able to run the ball on most people.
Georgia and Zach Arnett at Mississippi State. Get him the hell out of there.
So that to me was, I think, the big thing. But they kind of stayed even. And so now when you look at this next year,
I would say the one question, if you're gonna have on all of these, it's just recruiting from the last staff.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest.
Piece. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And you just had you did just have your best recruiting class ever. It's pretty indisputable. I know you can get into now that we're a part of a company that ranks teams, you get into pissing matches all the time over whether somebody should be X higher or that. But the saying stars matter, I feel like the stars generally get it right. Like
that's why on three consensus is the best one because it's weighting all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's their average over four different sites. Four different companies, and then, industry average.
And you had, in the last class, 60% blue chip rate. Is that right?
Yeah. So, it was right at 50%, maybe a little bit over, but yeah.
So you were going in the right direction. This is probably going to be a year where it's like, all right, keep the boat afloat. And as Scangarello said when he was asked about recruiting, it's kind of what Liam did, at least initially. Just be good at the portal. You know, if you can at least just sell guys on the portal, that's a third of your recruiting.
Yeah, it's a total unknown with this recruiting stuff. Like you can make the argument Scott Woodward is what, the second best recruiter on the staff right now behind Vince?
Probably say he is.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument. I'm not even saying he is. I'm saying you can make the argument. I think that's 100% definitive truth.
Yeah.
And he would have, think about a year ago. He was a QC a year ago.
Yeah, Brad got those guys this year, but so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, but I think it's a conversation.
But you used to have Summerall and Clink not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And
Mike Stoops is probably going to figure something out. Yeah, I think he's going to be fine, good.
He'll get a few random big fish.
And then Yenzer, we'll see, obviously. But, I think the wild card, not at all, is probably Scangarello. What can he bring to the table as a recruiter, as an offensive coordinator? What kind of success can he have recruiting quarterbacks? Can he have other – because we saw Liam start to have some other success recruiting receivers and whatnot.
Sorry, I got some money on the Hoosiers.
Like it. Hoosiers 50-43,
945. Yeah, minus five. They're at seven now.
But, yeah, I think that's
we're in Indiana. We can place legal wagers.
That's a huge question. But if you're just focusing on just on the field next season, I think whatever optimism or excitement you had before all this coaching churn happened, I think that can kind of remain the same. This is kind of my viewpoint on the whole situation.
Expectations should not be altered dramatically because you lost the coaches. Like, that's a very reasonable outlook. Because I think when I look at the – I did like a radio hit. I don't know. It was a Saturday radio hit, and they just wanted to bring up stuff. And I was like, well, they asked me 8 wins. If you over under 8 wins, and I was like, man, eight's the hard number. Because it's probably a push in all likelihood. Because getting that 9th one is tough, depending on how good Tennessee and Mississippi State are.
Yeah.
Because those are the two games that when you have the big years – you got to at least be one of them. And you're on the road at Tennessee. Mississippi State's at home, but this is going to be the best Mississippi State team since the DAC team, probably.
It could be, yeah.
Like, they're going to be a preseason top 15 team. Will Rogers is good, and that 3-3-5 is just – it gives people fits. So
– it's like you're a prisoner of your schedule in college football. I mean, every year because of the limited number of games. So a lot of it depends on just, like, when you start – when you start just talking about numbers, you know, how many wins, a lot of it just depends on what the other dudes do, what happens on your schedule. You know, what if Tennessee, what if it's the same as they were last year? They're humming on offense, defense is average. But what if it's not, what if the defense takes a huge step back and the offense, people kind of adjust a little bit in the league to the offense?
Yeah, they could end up stinking. Like last year, they were a pleasant surprise how improved they were. They could grow on it. They could be a lot worse. Mm-hmm. Spencer Rattler, who knows? Maybe he is awesome there. Like, you know,
what if like Ole Miss, they're reloaded with a bunch of transfers, but they've got two new coordinators on both sides of the ball. What if that
– they could just stink.
That's a lot of moving parts. What if they just don't all hit? Right, they could like go down the drain a little bit. I mean, you're just going to have to play it as is, but you're right. Like, 8's probably the number. I think you now feel pretty good about, you know, I think we got a pretty good shot at going 8-4 Outback Bowl. And then if things hit right, but the thing with Kentucky this year that they haven't had really ever, there was a 1 year Steven Johnson, maybe that you could say this, but Kentucky's got a returning quarterback that they feel confident in that's one of the better ones in the SEC.
Just not according to Brad Crawford.
So yeah, I mean,
he's catching strays. No, yeah, and
so that's the whole wild card. Draft Twitter's starting to find out about Levis a little bit.
Yeah,
from the Wandell Robinson tape, mm-hmm. people are digging into, and so that's gonna, I think, amp up the buzz a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised. I think we've talked about this, like when McShay or whoever, day after the draft's over, writes up that first round mock for next year. I wouldn't be surprised.
25th or something.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if Will Levis is 24th to the, you know, whoever, the 49ers or whoever.
When the Trey Lance project fails.
Well, probably a bad. I'm trying to think of a team that would make the playoffs with a bad quarterback situation. The Buccaneers or something.
Yeah. But I think to go back to the original point, though, is like if we're talking about season big picture stuff, it's still the stuff we were talking about in mid-January when we thought all these dudes were coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got questions at tackle, you got some questions at cornerback, you got questions at wide receiver. You like the talent at wide receiver, it's got to prove itself. Spring practice starts Tuesday, and then I'm going to go back to my original point, we're going to beat this dead horse where these guys aren't relearning everything. They can just build on what they already know.
A lot of it's on the coaches to just, like, don't get in the way. You know, they need to find some pieces, but Chris Rodriguez can run for 1,200 yards in his sleep. Will Levis is, like, ready for a huge season. Like, he sound like he's pretty locked in. Like, he knows this is his, like, the year. Like, if he's going to make it to the NFL, this is it. Like, I need to go out and do it now. They've got, like,
I mean,
versatile weapons. Get Upshaw back. Cummings at receiver. Tavion Robinson's a prove it piece. Javon Baker's coming in here and kind of a prove it year. Like, there's guys here. Just don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Just you got to put the right pieces in place. But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of the chessboard's already built for the most part. Just, you know, you just need to get on here and move a couple pieces around, and they're going to be in good shape.
The thing that I wanted you to touch on, because you wrote more about it specifically, but I think a big piece of this is Scangarello's quarterback development angle, where, you know, he's like, yeah, one of my first quarterbacks, guy from UC Davis, was it JT O'Daniel?
JT O'Sullivan.
JT O'Sullivan, which is the, that sounds like a dude that was the, that, that was...
Central casting for a Texas high school football movie.
Or I was thinking he was Shane Falco's rival in The Replacements, JT O'Sullivan. JT O'Sullivan's a very quarterback name, but he spent a decade in the NFL. Like, he has coached some guys that have done well, and he talked about some of the traits that Levis has. That I like that you really pressed him on it too. Like, that's some good journalism there. It's like, well, what are they? What does Levis do well?
Yeah, I've been working on my follow-up questions. But yeah, it's just, yeah, and I kind of dove into this today when you talked to Bailey Zappe for about 10 minutes, and it was you asked me this question so I can tell this story, but basically, like, Zappe broke all these records, obviously, WKU last year, had just a phenomenal football season. Like, Bryce Young won the trophy, the Heisman Trophy, but no one had a better individual year than Zappe playing quarterback in college football last year. But he's not a, you know, even though all these air raid systems have kind of leaked into the NFL, it's still, like, you still have to have certain level of athleticism traits. Like, you got to be at somewhat of an athlete. Like, you can't just be a
statue in the pocket.
Joe Flacco pocket statue quarterback anymore. You've got to have some type of pocket mobility. You've got to be able to move. You've got to be able to break, contain, and make secondary plays when the play breaks down. Off script, can you make plays happen? And I think that's one area Will Levis probably needs to get a lot better at. That's one thing I'm going to be looking for him this year. When a play breaks down, can he scramble, find somebody open? And then you got to have the arm talent to make some special type throws, deliver the ball with ball placement. And then, obviously, the most important is processing and accuracy. Levis showed somewhat last year that he has some processing skills, that he has, I think, good enough accuracy right now. He's got a special arm, can make a lot of throws. And now it's just all going to be about, like, he can run the ball and he can make people miss. Now it's going to be about, like, short area, like, managing the pocket, figuring out how to make people miss. But, yeah, for Scangarello, he said, you know, there's a few traits that you look for. And he didn't say Levis has all of them, but he said he's got some of them.
Right.
And so that's and then when you got a quarterback that can, he called it above line arm, which is pretty much like you need a quarterback that can make all these throws. It's the line is what I kind of took that as, and Levis is above that. Like, he can make all those, but he can do it a little better than probably, like, whatever, league average or whatever.
To your point about processing and ball placement, Scangarello said that he actually – yeah, he watched college games here and there, and the first time he saw Levis throw was in that LSU game. He's like, oh, this guy's got it. And when I went to, like, tweet that out, I was trying to find the highlight of it. But the pass that Levis threw to Wandale.
Right, when that was kind of the off script.
Mm-hmm.
The pocket got muddied a little bit. He stepped to his left, I believe, one and a half steps.
Up. He moved around quite a bit in the pocket. He never, like, broke for free and was scrambling.
And then his feet weren't perfect, but his arm delivered a dart.
It was a dart. It went over the deep. I mean, it was in the perfect spot, the mm-hmm. Wandale ball placement, the corner of the end zone.
Right.
It was such a great throw. And I think that's the kind of the throw you'll see on a lot of those highlight tapes a year from now. And, you know, hopefully he has more of those. That was kind of his bounce back game after a rough Florida game.
Yeah, you turn on the Georgia tape, you can see some of that progression stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was probably his best, I would say, pocket movement game. Moving around,
being comfortable in the pocket, sliding, stepping up, delivering the ball, throwing different arm angles. So yeah, I mean, there's some stuff there with Levis, obviously, to get excited about. And I think that's part of the reason Scangarello's here. I mean, he said the little part about Yenzer being here was big, but I think the biggest one was having a guy like Levis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That he can kind of hitch his wagon to.
Right, right. Rutgers just tied it.
Here we go. The Scarlet Knights.
Indiana, minus -5. They've been in all over that number all night, dancing around it. Now they're going to go. They're
going
to blow.
This thing's going down the free throws more than likely.
And the thing is, too, that's sad like it is, like, if Indiana doesn't win this game, they're not making the NCAA tournament.
It's going to be close.
Like, this is a win. It doesn't necessarily mean you're in, but it probably wrecks your bubble probably bursts here.
Yeah, it's another quad 2 loss, I believe it would be at home. It's
not at home, too. Indiana, just suck it, Hoosiers. Yeah. March Madness is going to be pretty exciting, but like I said, spring football starts next Tuesday. There's a couple – so it will be Tuesday, Thursday. We'll talk to Rich one more time and some of the offensive players. And then on Thursday, we'll hear from Brad White and the defense. They take a week off. The spring game is April 9th, so the Saturday following the Final Four.
Master Saturday. Moving day at Augusta.
And here's the thing, folks. They initially were planning on starting spring practice this week, and then the offensive coordinator thing changed. Happened. Mm-hmm. So they're doing a spring game and then having three practices afterwards.
Yeah, one thing I really want to get into before we can get on to some draft stuff, wide zone. Like that's what we were expecting this time last year, all offseason.
Yep.
Didn't see it a whole lot. And then Yenzer talking about it, how it's kind of like what they do. It's based off everything.
Said 2-to-1 ratio, yeah. Outside zone to inside zone.
That's what I want to – that's really what I'm going to watch for, I guess, in the spring and then when the first few games get here this year. How committed are they to it? What happens if they're not really successful with it? Because I think that was one of the best things Cohen did was probably scrap that early. Yeah. And just go with what they were good at, what they knew.
Chris can run this. Let's just stick to what Chris is good at.
Right. And, well, then blocking it, too. Let's just get a double team here with Kennard and
right, right.
Whoever's
mow the bastards down.
Right. So, yeah, that's going to be something I'm going to be interested in following early. So it seems like they're super committed to it. And I would like obviously we want to see more of that because that's going to open up the boot game, the play action game, even better if they could do that.
Let's talk a little combine. Wandell Robinson was Kentucky's only player there today. It was receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks. You mentioned Zappe. Big Bailey Zappe fan. Really want him to do well because this quarterback class is kind of ho-hum. You're going to end up rolling the dice on some of these guys no matter what. Zappe was bigger than I thought. And he also had some pretty – like, I liked it. He was definitely armed there with ammunition against, you know, spread, gimmick, blah, 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 blah. Like, he was ready to talk against that stuff.
Yeah.
And he's also just like a Texas-ass quarterback.
Got a straight-up Texas accent.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Tops on top, T-O-P-S, tops, tops, tops. He had some fun throws, some big throws in that bowl game against – it was UTSA, right? Or was that the
conference? UTSA was a conference title game. App State, they smashed in the bowl game. Yeah, Boca Raton Bowl, I believe.
But fun quarterback. Really looking forward to following him along. Brock Purdy. Whatever you think of him, that's exactly how he is. He is a Brock Purdy to a T. Kind of boring. I forgot that he was even still around. Not going to lie.
Yeah, he's there a long time.
Malik Willis, I don't really believe in. Kenny Pickett, who he might be the Steelers quarterback. And you all know.
Pickett's the it's kind of smelling like, feel like he's the guy. Everybody's trying to be like, all right, I guess this is the guy we're all jumping on.
But he doesn't look it. He's got weird hair, haircut.
He's just got a
weird mustache. He's got some hipster vibes that I don't know.
The sell with Pickett is high floor, low ceiling. So it's like he could come in, start for you next year. He could probably get you to the playoffs, but asking for any, and then maybe we'll see, but asking for any more, that's going to be hard. Whereas Malik Willis has got a very low floor, I think, but he's probably got the highest ceiling of any of these quarterbacks.
If he puts it together.
Yeah. Because he's got, like we talked about, the movement skills, secondary playmaking ability.
Rocket arm.
Big arm, can stretch it vertically.
I really want Matt Corral to do well.
Yeah. That's the one, I just don't know. Because he is, kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
I think durability is going to be a big thing for him here in the NFL. Running the ball was a huge part of his game. Ole Miss. When things weren't, he wasn't sitting there through progressions, 3, 4, 5, bounce, sit. It was more just 1, 2.5, move around, go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the worry there. He can throw the ball. He doesn't have the greatest arm. He can stretch it vertically, but it's not the greatest arm. But he can put the ball in some tough places that a lot of quarterbacks can't. But there is some big concerns with him. But, it's just the quarterbacks just – the biggest buzz thing today, I think, for me, was just, it's just very blah.
They kind of stink.
Yeah, no one's saying it, but right. The quarterback class stinks.
Journalists are trying to get them we actually don't stink.
They're throwing them in the big boards, obviously, because even Daniel Jeremiah had Pickett all the way down at, 26. Or something. And if he's at 26, that's probably – he's more realistically probably 42. They have to have a quarterback in there.
Right. But, and they will still probably get 3 taken in the first round, probably.
Yeah. And just if you're a team that don't need a quarterback, you're just all right, that's going to create value for you early in the draft.
Yeah, that's true. And tomorrow we're hearing from the big uglies. A lot of offensive linemen that are – if you need one, you got plenty to choose from.
Yeah, and it's pretty balanced, too, between guard and tackle. Obviously, I think, the tackles early, usually how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Neal or the kid from NC State, Ike Iguanu, could go #1 overall to the Jags.
Charles Cross from Mississippi
State. Charles Cross is really good. I really like him. He's going to be a top 10 pick. That Trevor Penning at Northern Iowa was pretty big at the Senior Bowl.
He's fun.
He'll be a top 20 pick.
I want to see just how large he is in person.
Right, because his was length and arm length. Yeah,
he's like the dude for the Patriots that's 6'9" or whatever.
Yeah, I think he's legit 6'6", but he probably looks 6'9" with how long he is.
Right, right.
And he plays with a big nasty streak.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. But then you look at guard, I think there's a lot to like, especially in the second round. If you need a guard, Darren Kennard is going to be in that mix. I'm hoping Kennard gives us something about the teams talking to him, because I'm very interested to see if some of these outside zone teams, Nick, the mm-hmm. 49ers, the Rams, the Bengals, the Browns, teams that stick with that system, now the Vikings – Are they interested in them, or is it more teams that maybe more gap scheme, the Ravens,
mm-hmm.
Teams like that are more in on him? That's going to be something I'm going to be really looking forward to, if he can give us something on that, because then we can kind of figure out who he's going to go to in the second round. And Indiana is trying to pull Nick home here, 56-54.
Oh, man. Yeah.
3:07 left.
And we just got Rutgers dude just flopped, and so they called a foul on the Rutgers guy. It was a very bizarre sequence of events. Weird. We watched bench press last time down here, right?
No, we left right before it was going on, but we need to go watch it tomorrow. Yeah. We got quarterbacks, receivers. We need to go watch.
Very few of them are doing it.
Tight end. We need to watch the tight ends pump the iron tomorrow.
Yo, we need to. I really want to see the dude from Michigan State, the
Connor Hayward.
Yeah, I want to see Hayward bench press. But it's fun, just the environment, the energy in there. A lot of guys don't do it, though, because injury and, how much does it really help?
Yeah, Desmond Ridder said today, Cincinnati quarterback, he's doing everything except bench press.
That's how it is for Ridder. Rondale's the same.
Shout out St. X alum. Tomorrow's a big day for him, throwing. Because if he has a really good day throwing the football, that can kind of jump him up a little bit. Because the question with him is accuracy, ball placement.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can kind of do some of the ad-lib stuff you like to do. He's got some pretty good arm strength. He's played in kind of a more pro-style system. He's played a lot of football. But it's the accuracy and the throwing, that's a worry. If he can do that tomorrow, he's a guy, I think. If he has a big throwing day, and maybe if he throws at Cincinnati –
Mm-hmm.
Makes teams look at him a little different. He's a guy I think could have a chance to maybe sneak in the first round. If he doesn't throw well, he's probably going to be late second, early third round pick.
Yeah, I'm cheering for him, but second say next. Second say next. Yeah. Wandale, he's talked to a lot of teams, but his only formal interview up to this point so far has been the New England Patriots. They are
– Mac Jones, Wandale finally get to play together.
But from what I understand, the Patriots, they're taking a wide receiver at some point in this draft.
Yeah, but they need like a true number one outside receiver.
Right. So
Jacoby Myers played out of the slot. I mean, he's getting like his contract getting up there, so maybe the third, fourth round, if Wandell's there, I could see them definitely being interested. Because they do want to give Mac Jones some
weapons. Yeah, some people to actually throw to. But Wandale talked at length about how far ahead he is. I mean, it's kind of like what Luke told us a few weeks ago. Damn you, Rutgers.
Geo Baker from the wing.
Huge three. They've got the lead with 2 minutes to go. But like how Luke said, he felt far ahead in the Senior Bowl. Wandale's like, they might call things different terminology, but the concepts are the same when they're picking your brains in this meeting. And what I also find fascinating too, I don't know how much of it is a media fabrication and how much of it they're just asking his comfortability with it, but the weakness in Wandale's game is now kind of a strength. He wanted to get away from Rutgers to get away from the running back label. Well, now, hey, I can carry it 10 times a game for you. Like, that's something that teams like. And you get the Debo Samuel thing thrown around a lot. Cordarrelle Patterson, he's kind of bounced back and forth between both of them.
They're comparing the wrong player. Like Wandale did that, but the guy that can do that is Treylon Burks at Arkansas. 6'3", 225, played primarily in the slot. But he's going to run a ridiculous 40 time. He's going to test athletically crazy. He wears 4XL gloves.
Well, that's like Debo. Debo was, what, like 15th pick or something?
Yeah. Well, he was second round. He was middle of second
Debo
round.
Debo fell the second?
Mm-hmm. So that's who –
because he got his ass kicked so much by Kentucky.
That is the comparison to Debo is Treylon Burks.
You heard it here first, folks. How fast do we think Wandale's 40 is going to be?
That's what I'm interested in.
I have no idea what it is because I feel like he's a football speed guy.
The real – why I haven't been like more big on like Wandale – Wandale's going to be early second is because of that top-end speed. It's just not there.
He got caught how many times in the 5-yard line?
Right, and that's a concern at that position. Like, obviously playing primarily in the slot, like the shuttles are going to be important there. But when you turn on the tape, you've seen him get caught a few times when you would like to see him hit an extra gear. Yeah, I'm thinking like 4.52, something like that, maybe 4.49.
Yeah, 4.52 sounds about right.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to kick ass in, like, the three cone drill and all that
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
And
I'll be interested to see, like, his 10-yard is going to be really good.
Yeah, and his short shuttle and all that sort of stuff. So, really cheering for Wandale. He had some great quotes, too, thanking the Kentucky fans for just an amazing year. You can check all those out at KentuckySportsRadio.com. He's the one that everybody's going to be watching on the field tomorrow. From the interview room, we're going to be talking to the big uglies on the offensive line. Is it
8 a.m. sharp.
Is it just offensive linemen tomorrow for us? And running backs, but yeah, I think it's just offensive line and running backs, and we get defensive line
the
following day. Mm-hmm,
that's right.
And LB. So, yeah, should be a good time. Like it. We'll have more to discuss from the odds and ends of it. We'll save that for tomorrow. Because I'm fascinated by the fashion.
Tomorrow's
eclectic group of journalists there.
First day is just kind of
get your toes wet.
Yeah, they put quarterbacks there. Get a more of a rhythm. Feet under you here this next day.
There was also the reason why Indy has held this for so long is because the setup downtown is very convenient for all parties involved.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They keep things moving pretty well. They did not have things moving very well this morning. Like, dudes just no showing for interviews and then showing up 40, an hour later. It was a weird, unusual day. Maybe, it's been a while. They're a little rusty. They took a year off for COVID. Just getting back into motion.
Guy I missed, Jahan Dotson, was late. Penn State guy.
And I was there to go talk to him, too. I waited for 30 minutes for the guy to share with our What's our on three Penn State site? Is it We Are Penn State?
Blue White Illustrated.
Blue White Illustrated. I was trying to get a video for him, and he no-showed for the 30 minutes an hour.
But Penn State, man, every draft season, Nick, they've got these freaks.
Micah Parsons. Saquon Barkley.
Saquon.
The rusher.
The guy, the edge rusher at Baltimore. Yeah. He changed his name. So the last name starts with an O. Owe. It was Jason Owe. Now it's Odafe Owe, I think.
Gotcha.
And then this year, like, Dotson's probably going to have a freaky 40 time. And they even had KJ Hamler ran a big, like, was a big speedster.
Mm-hmm.
They've got that edge rusher, Arnold Ibikike, I think his name is. And then they got another edge rusher, Jason Lucada. They're both going to test out the... Out the wazoo. So I don't know what James Franklin's doing, but he gets some, like, freaks up in there.
Got the strength coaches, man.
Yeah.
Getting after it.
Shout out to that their strength and conditioning staff, because those dudes come out and they put up some big combine numbers.
And shout out to y'all for listening to us. You're not going to be around for the final of the Indiana game, but they surely won't cover. I need overtime at this point. Damn Hoosiers. But hey, we're in Indiana. We can bet.
We're going to win by two just to spite you.
Oh, yeah. It's legal here. What isn't legal, though, you can't buy cold beer at a gas station. Dumbest state law of all the state laws. So stupid. But we're going to have a little bit more fun. We'll be back at the Combine Thursday morning. We'll have another podcast for y'all tomorrow afternoon. And we might be a little hungover Friday whenever we're talking to Josh Paschal.
Can't wait. Hey, we're built different. We'll be able to get through.
Is it really a Friday if you're not a little hungover at work? I don't think so, Tim. Thank y'all so much for listening. For Adam Luck, and I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats. Go Krogering. We'll see y'all tomorrow.